Pretzels, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, it is Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. The number right away, Johnny Lupinacci. Johnny, speaking of, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm excited. I mean, this week is already off to, you know, banner set of shows. We had great guests yesterday. We had an awesome show and got one I've been excited for months.
Yeah.
So we'll get there. We'll get there quick, Tim, because I'm like,
we'll get there quick. But, you know, here's the thing. Tomorrow night, too, got to put it out there.
If you're
in Madison, check it out. Go get it to the Minocqua Brewing Tap Room. First of all, you know why, Johnny? Because Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And if you get down there tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, it'll be a live, you know, remote cast. Tim and Johnny remote from Washington and Ohio. And then coming out of the tap room, Kirk is going to be down there, the owner, hosting the show. Guests, Heather. And you just got a great lineup of people. And everybody participating in the episode, there it is. Everybody participating at Minocqua Brewing gets
they
to
can join.
They can join in. Big thing though, big focus, registering people to vote to get them out there. But yeah, Minocqua Brewing Company tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, get down to the tap room in Madison, right across from East High School. Yeah, you go down there and hang out, have a beer. If you're like me, you have a nice one of their sodas. Yeah, you buy some t-shirts. You just enjoy yourself and meet with a lot of great people talking about truly the things that matter most. And at this point too, getting people, as many people as we can, registered to vote, because this election coming up, Johnny Lupinacci, man, we got a lot to say. All right, Johnny Lupinacci, you're excited about this episode tonight. Special guest. I gotta say, yes, this is a reigniting of a relationship that was built back in the day when Busted Pencils was solely just a podcast, Rethinking Schools, which has its origins in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We teamed up back in the 2015, 2016, created a partnership where on the Busted Pencils podcast, I would feature Rethinking Schools authors. And guess what? Rethinking Schools would feature the Busted Pencils logo in their print materials too. And it was a beautiful relationship. Some of the most incredible episodes. And in fact, that new BustedPencils.com, it's about to be available. We can reissue those great episodes where we have everything about there. But tonight, Johnny, we're announcing we're back. The relationship is rekindled. Busted Pencils and Rethinking Schools together again. And our guest is a social justice educator, accomplished writer and researcher. She's an experienced consultant and speaker, also a movement and meditation instructor. But most importantly, she is the first, the new, the only so far executive director of Rethinking Schools. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Dr. Sierra Kaler Jones. How are you, Sierra?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so thrilled about this partnership, and I can't wait to just continue highlighting the stories of social justice educators.
It is great. And I said the stuff out there, I mean, first of all, right off the bat, everybody go to Rethinking Schools, check it out, see what they're doing. Lots of amazing stuff. But Sierra, so you're the first executive director. Tell us and the listener, what does the executive director of Rethinking Schools do?
Oh, yes. Well, pretty much anything that you can think of, I am involved in it. I help to oversee the business and the operations side of the organization, the nonprofit aspects or aspects of the organization, as well as the content and the editorial. So you'll oftentimes find me with my fundraising hat on. That's a huge part of my job. But I also get to write for the magazine. And I'm excited to talk a little bit today about the spring issue of the magazine, as well as one of my newest pieces in there, Teaching Dance for Transformation, because I come to education work as a dance teacher.
Think about this, the question. So Rethinking Schools, promoting a social justice view of education, particularly teaching. What does that, I mean, tell us, like, Rethinking Schools, the connection, the commitment, the mission to social justice and education. Talk more about that.
Absolutely. So first, I just want to honor Rethinking Schools' almost 40-year rich history. The founding editors saw a curriculum that was whitewashed and dominated by corporate textbooks, and now we're the nation's leading grassroots publisher for racial and social justice in education. And right now we're navigating a difficult time. There are anti-history bills, there's book bans, anti-LGBTQ plus legislation, there's attacks on educators, and really just the promotion of distrust in public schools is rampant. And so my vision and our collective vision at Rethinking Schools is really to encourage and to fuel grassroots efforts in schools to build a broad democratic movement for social and environmental justice. And we do this by providing resources like our books and our magazines. We have community spaces like our webinars, writing retreats, and study groups. And these all help sustain educators and remind them that they're not alone in the fight for social justice, whether that be in their communities or in their classrooms. And my vision for Rethinking Schools is that it will be every educator's go-to resource for inspiration, strategy, and community.
And that one, Johnny Lupinacci, I'm going to let you get in here because I know this is important, but, you know, just to help you, my first remembering of Rethinking Schools was the Rethinking Columbus. And yes. So just to frame that for the listener or the teacher out there saying, yeah, the Rethinking Columbus. At this point now, people are like, oh, yeah, everybody knows all these alternative sides to Columbus. But it was Rethinking Schools that really took, you know, combined with Howard Zinn's, you know, history of people's history of the youth, but putting together that content that allowed us to look at this Christopher Columbus figure and rethink what it means to teach students about this whole concept of discovery and what discovery might mean if you are the ones being discovered who went, we knew we were here all along.
Right.
Nobody discovered anybody. And so that reframing. So that's, again, Rethinking Schools. Johnny, that was my introduction, Johnny, to Rethinking Schools, was Rethinking Columbus.
I mean, excellent. I went through the Rethinking Columbus stuff as a kid, like as a student. That's, I mean, not to out you, Tim, on your wisdom, but that is truly, if I was thinking about my first, you know, encounter, like my first real moment with Rethinking Schools, I wouldn't even have recollected that because, you know, I actually later realized, oh, this is the stuff that we learned in Detroit Summer, that we were learning from social justice educators in Detroit who were active with Rethinking Schools. And I will say, like, since my day one in classroom, Rethinking Schools has been, you know, a key part of being a math teacher, of being a social justice educator. Yeah. There were so many years where, like, to be a teacher in Detroit, if you were responsible and you responded to the needs of students in our community, or you were from that community, and I was both, right? The reality was, it didn't matter what subject you were teaching, you were a social justice educator. I mean, there was just really no, you either had to be on the side of continuing oppression or, you know, fighting it by any means necessary. And that meant, you know, being an educator and asking the questions like, where can we get support on this? Because it wasn't in teacher education. You know, it wasn't, there were little snapshots of it, but for all I can say 25 some years that Rethinking Schools has been my go-to, not only in the curriculum that it offers, it's like my own learning about each topic. So listener out there, if you're not familiar with Rethinking Schools, like as a teacher, if there's a topic, I'm like, I'm not sure I know enough about this to teach it. Rethinking Schools says, we got you, because we are teachers teaching teachers. and we are learners leading learners. So all of the professional development too, it's like forever. I'm hard crushing. I'm a big fan, but this is the thing. Every PD I was involved with as a participant in Rethinking Schools changed how I taught, because it was teachers that would demo, get this out there, teachers, PD, where they actually demoed for us the lesson we would teach our kids. Like, we went through it and we learned so much about the topic and how to teach it together. I was like, oh, y'all need to certify teachers. That's what's up. This is the stuff. So I'm crushing hard. Sierra, thanks for bringing this back together with Busted Pencils. But folks, for listeners, like, this is stuff that's been around. It's not brand new. It's got long connection with veteran teachers, with new teachers, with activists, with social justice educators, you know, people across diverse communities who are coming together to really make this work, make it doable. Mm-hmm. I always got that question, like, you're a math teacher, what do you mean you teach about social justice? And it was like, oh, here's how we do it. And check it out. I'm not making this up. Like, here's all these really cool lessons that Rethinking Mathematics has. So other math teachers kind of have that entry point too. And it's really been about building a movement. So thank you, Sierra, for the work you do, for being part of that movement and for being a leader in that movement. So excited to have you here.
Thank you. And yes, absolutely. I feel the same. Being a dance teacher and infusing social justice into my lessons has really come from Rethinking Schools and learning from other educators from across content areas. There's so much that we can learn from each other and together. And I'm just so appreciative of you mentioning how our professional development, our webinars are really interactive, because we want people to be in dialogue with each other, right? We're not engaging in the banking model of education. We are really aimed at education for liberation, and how do we get liberated together? I continue to learn so much from the lessons as I read them, both pedagogically about things that I can use in my work as a dance teacher, but also just the content area and the content knowledge. There are historical events that I have never learned before. And as an adult, now I'm able to learn that from my colleagues and my comrades at Rethinking Schools and all of the contributors and educators that are a part of our network.
Oh, our guest, Dr. Sierra Kaler-Jones, she is the executive director of Rethinking Schools. We are announcing, yes, the partnership reignited, not new, but just bringing it back together, Busted Pencils, Rethinking Schools. And when we get back, Sierra, though, too, you hit on a term, the banking model of education. We might need to define that. Yeah, banking model education, defining that when we get back. What everybody says, Kathy. Kathy loves the music. Of course you do. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Yeah, you know, the best music on the radio, bumper music for a talk show. Of course it is. Turn in with Johnny and I. We said we're going to have to release a playlist soon, the Busted Pencils playlist, so people can go out and download that. Love it. Our guest, though, I say, is 40 plus years as a teacher, Kathy Greeley, her book, Testing Education, a Teacher's Memoir. We're talking about it. Kathy, you were talking about that joy moment. You were talking about the time, you know, back when, you know, you were teaching in middle school, social studies, language arts, getting together to put together a play. The students are directing themselves, taking ownership of their own learning, putting together the play. And they picked a student who you were saying potentially surprising that they picked him to be the lead role, and the student had a speech difficulty issue, and you were asking the students why, and they were kind of like, well, we want him. So tell us more about what happened there.
So they just believed in him. I was worried. I believed in my students, and this is something that I think is very different now for teachers. Like, you have to make sure, like, we don't let students make choices anymore, but I didn't want to overrule my students unless I felt like I was going to put this young man at risk of a failure, embarrassment or something. So I talked to our speech therapist in the school and she said, this is awesome that they picked him. And I'm going to make sure, I don't know if he can do it, but I'm going to support him as much as possible. And the kids also said, we don't know if he can do it, but we're going to support him as much as possible. And on the night of the performance, he gets up on his soapbox to deliver this speech. And everybody in the audience knew this kid. And he starts out and he says, and he starts to stutter. And I'm holding my breath and I'm sitting next to the speech therapist and she just says, start over again. Mm. And he starts over and he delivers this whole speech. Like it's literally a page and a half of, you know, rising to support the union. And people were crying and the audience erupted in cheers like they were ready to join the IWW. And then after the play was over, I mean, that was just such a thrilling moment. And after the play was over, I always ask my students to reflect on what they learned and how they felt about what they did, what they would do differently, all of that kind of thing. And this student wrote, I said, how did you feel about your part in the play? And he wrote, I felt like a knight in shining armor and that I can do anything. And I still hold on to that. I mean, I don't know where he is now. I hope he hears this. I just saw a kind of transformation happen in him. And I just want our students to have that kind of opportunity to do things that nobody expected that they could do, especially themselves. And that was a real moment of joy.
That's truly a moment of joy. And I think about that too. And what you're talking about, Kathy, too, is that professional autonomy that you as a teacher had and that ability for you and your class to put together this idea of, you know what, we're gonna take this learning moment, we're gonna turn it into, you know, at that point, a play. I remember doing these types of things too, actually, as a learner, and thinking they were great. You know, if you remember that, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, remembering that time and when you were a student, when joy came across, and what was it that was happening? Kathy's talking about this 40 plus years, and then realizing that in that moment of empowerment, letting the students take charge. You know, we talk with Alfie Cohn all the time, and he's like, you know, let's let children make these decisions, and you'd be surprised at what they can do. And what you did there too is that moment. However, in the book, Kathy, that's not where you went. What happened? What happened over 40 years, Kathy?
Oh gosh, you know, Tim, what happened? You know, it's hard to say where it started, but I think officially maybe it started with No Child Left Behind in 2001 with all of those policies. I personally think it started long before that. I think I go back to 1983 with The Nation at Risk, and I go back before that to the Board of Education, Brown versus Board of Ed, when a lot of white people were uncomfortable with the government telling them that their children had to go to school with black children. And we can go even further back than that. So, but really the the hammer came down, I think, starting in 2001 with No Child Left Behind, and this idea of federal testing and standardization and standardized testing, and that we're going to make sure that if everybody has to be proficient by the year 2014, and if they're not proficient, we're going to chop your head off. And actually, they did, like, in Massachusetts still, if kids don't pass our state tests, they do not get a high school diploma, which the Mass Teachers Association, of which I'm a part, we're trying to fight that right now. But there have been thousands of kids who have been denied a high school diploma simply because they couldn't pass the state standardized test, which is not easy. I would encourage any of you to try to take it. There are three of them: math, science, and English language arts. So that's what happened. And I would say it was a real corporatized model of what schools should be. Schools are not corporations. They're not factories, but we have turned them into that. So
yeah. Well, and so this too, the book's title, Testing Education, A Teacher's Memoir, I got to think that was kind of thrown in there very specifically, because what you're talking about, Kathy, yeah, No Child Left Behind. And Johnny Lupinacci, we do this too. We talk about if we date it back, you know, yeah, I think 1983 particularly, you can go back further there, Nation at Risk. We've actually, James Harvey, one of the architects, we've had him on the show. He talked about that too, is really being that moment when, you know, we empowered the federal government to kind of say teachers and public schools are the problem. And in 2000 with Bush, yeah, No Child Left Behind and Testing. Our guest, Kathy Greeley, Testing Education, A Teacher's Memoir. Yeah, we're going to have more. Give us a call when we get back. Yes, there are fighters left here. In fact, we know where they're at. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, live from the Minocqua Brewing Tap Room in Madison, Wisconsin. There, Wisconsin Public Education Network, and special guest right now, Madison Teachers Incorporated, Michael Jones. Michael Jones, welcome back to Busted Pencils, sir. How are you doing, our friend?
My pleasure to be here, Tim. Always a pleasure to be on your program.
Oh, so what's happening with MTI, the Madison Teachers Incorporated? I mean, come on, Mike, drop some truth on us. Tell us about the activism you guys are dealing, you know, you're putting out there, and man, it's just so good to see you representing the union there and on the show tonight.
Well, thank you, bro. You know, a lot of it is nothing that I'm particularly doing, but what our union is collectively doing. And a lot of it is partnering with Wisconsin Public Education Network, partnering with other local groups. Our education justice coordinator is here at the Tap Room. She's working with local groups on healthier foods, or healthier food for our kids, so that they can actually be well-fed and have the nutrition, because of our messed up funding for the federal and state level. It leaves a lot of hungry kids and also leads to a lot of debt. And there's organizations trying to fight over $220,000+ in school lunch debt just from this past school year alone. And we know when our kids are suffering and they're hurting, that doesn't make it a great learning environment. We see it in all sorts of ways. So we are all just trying to band together to try to make the experience better, most importantly for our kids, and fight for the schools that our kids deserve.
Nice. Michael Jones, Madison Teachers Incorporated, Busted Pencils, Minocqua Brewing, Wisconsin Public Education Network. Holy cow, what a team tonight. Dropping some truth, going out there, get out the registrations to vote if you're paying attention, listening on the if you're listening and you're in the Madison area, check it out. Drop down to the Minocqua Brewing Tap Room. Stop in, have a beer, jump on. Hey, maybe you can even jump on the show. Michael, though, you know, what else is going on in your world? What can you let us know since the last we saw you? We were there in person on April 30th, but what's been happening? You know, what? Let us know.
Well, a lot of it is coming together. You know, Madison is most likely going to be going under a referendum, and it's going to be asking a lot of taxpayers like myself, like my neighbors here in this space, to up their taxes for public schools and to better fund public schools. And a lot of that is by design. It's by design for decades by partisan legislatures to starve us to the point that when we ask for scraps, it comes off as asking for the moon. And it's intentionally designed to set people against educators, people against the system, neighbors against neighbors, and a free-for-all. And when we fight back, when we are effective in fighting back, and when we stay together like we do here in Madison, then they label us as radical, or they label the NEA as the largest union in the nation as, you know, a special interest group that's radicalized. So our goal is to really get people together, especially for the upcoming election. You know, there's a lot of reasons to be divided in this country, in our communities, but one of the things that we all need to come together on is that we want what's best for the people that are coming after us. That's a whole reason we do education. It's a whole reason many of us are parents and caregivers. It's a whole reason why Kirk has his spot here. In Darbo, Worthington. It's why people come up in the middle of a storm to show up. It's not just because the beer's great. It's because we believe in each other. And we need to, you know, kind of figure out what are the differences that we are disagreeing on? What are the ones that we need to actually come together on and listen to each other? You know, when we do these door-to-door knockings, when we do these discussions, it's not as much about us telling people what they should do, what they should vote for, who they should vote for, but it's to listen to each other on what's important, and so that we can make our democracy stronger. And it is really tough to do that, especially when you have interest groups like the Washington Republican Party talking about how they want to remove democracy explicitly from the world, because that's why they target education, is because education is one of the most democratic, for better or worse, things that we got going on as a community. It's one of our strongest parts. And so, of course, you want to fight it because it takes away from your own power and your own ability to control others. And we need to come together to fight against that so that we can have more honest conversations around the minutia and the things that really are in our hearts. But we got to take care of business first.
That's awesome, Mike. Man, Mike, first and foremost, thank you for being a great teacher. And thank you for teaching all of our listeners. I know folks there are grateful to hear from you. I'm extra grateful to be here learning from and with you. Our listeners out there, this is an issue across the state, really across the country, right? You know, Dr. Julie Underwood shared that in the beginning. This is something that we keep coming back to. Is that this is important, whether you're rural, whether you're urban, whether you're local to the Minocqua Brewing Company, or you're in Madison, wherever you are. Mike, you just dropped mad truth, right? That's a double, that for double reasons. Madison, mad truth, but also mad truth, just how the kids would say, man, you are teaching here how and why public education is so important for all of us and reminding us to listen. Mike, I want to listen to you more, and I want our listeners to keep benefiting from this wisdom that you're sharing. For you, and you're on the ground, you're working with teachers, you're working in the community, you're listening to people, and you brought up justice. I think this is so important because it's not only a core democratic value, but it's part of what we are all working for when we say we're partnering for a better, stronger democracy, for justice for those, for our children and our children's children, for those future generations. Mike, what are the top things right now you see, you know, as needs in schools? Like, what are some of the things that are like on the ground, on in threat? You brought up food, But what else, what are some of the other things that are a matter of justice for your students?
I think, you know, when I speak to students, when I speak to the people that work with them, it's all about down to one word, and that's safety. Whether we're talking about physical safety and dealing with the explicit things like fights, but we're also talking about emotional safety. These have been extremely traumatic times for us and our kids, and we're still going through the trauma. It's not like pandemics and racial unrest and socioeconomic unrest are just one-offs. These are things that reverberate, and our kids are doing their best to try to keep it together for themselves and for their families and for their communities. And many of them are doing a great job, but they need support and they need to feel safe. You know, there's no learning done unless someone walks into any school building or any school space and actually feels safe, not just physically safe, but emotionally safe to try, to fail, to be the best version of themselves or work on it and try stuff out. We all have those experiences. So that's the whole point of this. And we got to fight for that because we can't do that. It can't be prescribed by a corporation or by a top-down approach. It has to be collective, and then we have to listen to it. And that's why we need to really come together, especially when it comes to things like the election, because we can't get to the safety piece unless we get to the community piece, the election piece, you know, and we need to model that for our kids because our kids see it. They see elections. They also see January 6th. They also see all sorts of unrest and not just incivility, but violence being foisted upon them. And we need to hold that. And we need to own it, and we need to do better.
That's awesome. Mike, thanks for everything you do. Hey, we got some folks there at the Monaco Brewing Company who are going to join the conversation. Kirk, we're going to come to you in just a second. But real quick, I got to say, folks, for listeners all across the state, you know what's going on. Civic Media's Scani Summer Text to Win giveaway is on. Download the Civic Media app and listen throughout the day for codes announced at the top of odd numbered hours. That's 7-9 and 11 a.m., 1, 3, and 5, and 7 p.m. to text in for your chance to win. Stay tuned to hear all the next codes from our man Pete Schwaba at the top of the next hour. That's 7 p.m. Prizes include Wisconsin Dells prize packs each giveaway hour and a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets each day. Entering just once will put you in the running for a grand prize of a weekend staycation or getaway in a beautiful Wisconsin locale. When you text in, you'll receive a bounce back text with a link to check your voter registration and sign up for Civic Media news and podcasts. When you do that, you'll earn bonus entries towards all available prizes. It will also check to make sure you're registered to vote. That's a big one. Get out the vote, bring the support together, get down to Monaco Brewing Company. Kirk, what do you got for us there on the ground?
Well, I'm a businessman too, and I love you made time to make money for Civic Media because I'm making money for a Monaco Brewing Company by selling beer. And it's great that there is the private enterprise that's helping to save public schools as well. So I'll make all the time in the world for the spiels that you got, my friend.
Thank you.
The one question I have for you, Michael, is that we just talked about what the Democratic Party is doing to recruit volunteers in not only, you know, throughout the state of Wisconsin, but especially in this one would say, you know, potentially depressed neighborhood in Madison that's got lower voter turnout than others. And, you know, if we got 89 voter percent voter turnout in Dane County, and most of us are Democrats, it's pretty amazing. So what are you guys doing as a union? Do you have a couple bullet points about throughout the summer or in the fall that the teachers that might be listening to this broadcast who are part of the union might be able to sign up, or who to call, and how do they get involved?
That's a great question, Kirk. I think there's two ways of going about it. One, both Madison Teachers Incorporated and WEAC, the Wisconsin Education Association Council, are doing battleground organizing, hiring and empowering teachers to go door-to-door and staff to go door-to-door in their neighborhoods, in the neighborhoods that they serve, to knock on doors because, you know, one of the reasons why people have a hard time with door knocking and stuff is that there's no pre-existing relationship. But if your local nurse, if your local teacher's assistant is knocking on the door and just wants to talk to you about having a voting plan, that's really different than a paid operative from DC. And that's part of it. Also, it's just a lot of it is also not just the organized stuff or the things, the events, but it's about kind of like what you said, Kirk, before about having space to actually just have soft conversations. And what I mean by that is asking people if they have a voting plan and did they put it in their calendar on their phone. A lot of times people just forget, and it's not political. It's just because we're all busy. We're all very overwhelmed. We're super stressed. So it's like, what's your voting plan? Do you know you're registered? You know, a lot of my conversations with colleagues and with people in my community is not to shame them into voting, but just to be like, oh yeah, you want to vote? Okay, do you know where you're voting? Oh, do you know that you're registered? Do you have your ID? And then just kind of helping them a little bit by bit. It's not big conversations. And I feel like that takes away the anxiety and the stigma that comes with doing some of this organizing work, is that you're just having a conversation. And a conversation goes both ways. So it's your job to listen to them. They might ask you about your voting plan. They might ask you about what you're thinking about either a referendum or about a candidate. And you can be honest with them, but also it's not to press them into what you want. It's really to make sure they understand what they want and what you want are usually the same things, even if they're in different packages or they have different faces on it. We all want what's best for our kids. You know, that's a universal truth. How we get there might differ, but, you know, and recognizing that and respecting that. And usually we can come to some sort of consensus, or it makes our democracy stronger by just having those conversations alone and not waiting until the last minute in October and November to do it, but doing that work June, July, all the way through, and making them more organic and natural as opposed to just a stilted yes or no on Biden or Trump, but also understanding it, everything is connected to everything.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah, Michael Jones, thank you so much, man. Dropping some truth. I know, Kirk, we got a couple other people we're going to want to talk to when we get back. But, man, the night is going fast. Get down to Minocqua Brewing Company Tap Room in Madison. Busted Pencils Together, Wisconsin Public Education Network, Madison Teachers Incorporated. Everybody's in the house. Teachers, you're there. And, yeah, keep buying that beer and come on down, buy some more beer. When we get right back, though, Kirk, we got some more visitors who are there and want to talk to us. And we're going to be back live in a minute. Listen to that. There was a field. Weeds? No. Flowers. That's what we're talking about. Gardens. Beautiful gardens. Busted Pencils. Fully leaded. Education talk. Educated educators talking education. If you're watching the video feed, you saw me putting my glasses on to talk. Yes, for some reason, I need to be able to see to keep speaking. It's something, I don't know, 855-752-4842 is the number. Give us a call. Great show. Guest Kathy Greeley, teacher 40 years in the Boston area, Cambridge, Massachusetts, recounted testing education, a teacher's memoir, just 40 years talking about what was, what happened, and the wishes. Johnny, I love the way you put in there and went, Kathy, what are the wishes? You're a genie. She went for that first one, though, like eradicate poverty. It was like, I'm like, whoa. But yeah, you think about that one. But you know what, though, Johnny? So you came back with, though, and saying, like, empowering true public education could really get us in that direction.
I'm going to back up what I'm saying. It will. Okay. It's not even about could. It will. If they're supported, if they're given if their needs are met, to learn together. I mean, it was in one of the songs, dare I say, coexist together. Yeah, that really isn't that radical of an idea, but it's been made radical. Yeah. And yes, we can through strengthening, you know, education, not schooling, not getting higher test scores,
right?
But spending meaningful time together, learning to be together, you know, to have a form of literacy where we're reading and we're writing and we're, you know, we're producing plays together, we're making music, all kinds of different things. It's not just one model of what it looks like. But yeah, a strong public education system is, you know, an insurance, and it is an investment in, you know, eradicating poverty. Again, there's some systemic stuff that has to happen, you know, but it would be there. It would be in place. It can be the equalizer, as it's often purported to be, but not structured to have that end goal.
Not right? structured, but like you're saying, though, the vision of what's possible. And see, for me, when we talk about this, this is exactly why the attack on public schools, has nothing to do with test scores, low test scores, inadequacy. The reality is that the attack is an attack on a realization that if truly an educated public through public schools really was the goal of what we were doing as a society, you would really eliminate a lot of the issues dealing with inequities. And you know what? Inequities, getting rid of inequities, man, guess what? Some people do not want to do that. Jess, I could see you looking like going like, I'm sorry, but there are people that truly do not want to get rid of the inequities and see public schools truly as, yeah, one of the potential solutions. And so let's attack them, because actual structural inequities keep me in power if I'm one of those people who go against that. And you sit there and go, really, Tim, that's what's behind the attack on public schools? Yeah, Jess, what do you think?
Yeah, I got a loud face. Sorry about that. No, it's true. You know, if we actually have a fully educated public, if we have a public who is informed about all of these issues, who can actually take meaningful action, well, that reduces the power that a small number of people do have. You know, whether you're comfortable with the idea or not, that there is a power imbalance in this country, in this world, and public education in many ways serves to lessen that divide.
Johnny.
Yeah. I mean, so we are all on the same page here. It resonates. However, you know, we're not there yet. And there's a lot of work to be done. And that doesn't mean, when we say all this too, that we're saying, hey, teacher, listener out there, you better kick it into overdrive, because this one's on you. You know, it's something that's part of our responsibilities. Every single one of us, it is a responsibility of all people to be civically engaged. And part of being civically engaged is understanding the importance of our education system. We can only be as strong as we are there for one another, and that we understand what we need and what others need, and that we can do that together. We talked a lot about a couple of weeks ago, and into last week, we were talking about effing with our feels, right? Well, I'll add on to that. Part of the big myth is you don't have to F people over to survive. And so that's a big shift. So how can our schools be more around our coexisting, our learning to listen to one another, to learn from and with one another, and have that work? And I loved having Kathy on tonight. What a great, I mean, anytime a teacher can share their story with us, but also teach us, right? We're learners leading learners. We're always all learners. Educators talking education.
Right.
Learners leading learners. Listener out there, we love that you tune in, that you listen, and that you participate as well. So, Tim, it's a pretty good Monday, if you're asking me. We're off to a banner start this week.
Yeah, we are. And you know what, too? Getting ready. Yeah, tomorrow, you know, Rethinking Schools, special editor, executive editor. Yep. And then Wednesday,
top
Johnny.
Wednesday, we're going to be having we're going to have one of our shows. You can participate at the show live with, you know, hosted at the Minocqua Brewing Company, you know, who sponsors Busted Pencils, and that you can check out not only Minocqua Brewing Company in person, be there Wednesday, you know, have a brew with the crew and talk to Tim and Johnny. We're going to be on with you. You can just participate by being there, right? So our buddy Kirk there will be like the MC, and you can come through and participate in that show. Hey, little reminder, listener, stay on for my man Pete Schwaba, because they're going to do a Scotty Summer at the top of the hour. So you got to stay on that business. Be a winner of a Scotty Summer. Listen to Pete Schwaba's show coming up next, and catch that keyword to text in, you know, in the 7 p.m. hour.
Man, yeah, great gifts, great giveaways. And download that Civic Media app while you're out there, too. You know, that makes things easy when you have the Civic Media app. It's Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on a Monday. Yeah, we're in here 855-752-4842. Coming up really close. Not going to have a whole lot of time for anybody else, but just get that number out there. You can give us a call tomorrow for the show. Rethinking Schools, a landmark out of Milwaukee. Yeah, we're going to be talking Rethinking Schools tomorrow. The editor, Sierra Caller-Jones, is going to be on. And, man, we have got a great show planned. So, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. See y'all tomorrow.
Yeah, yep.